Hunt is in the backfield. Roll out right. Here's Flacco rolling. Firing into the corner of the end zone. And Njoku caught it. Touchdown! Marquise Goodwin into the game with all of that speed. A wide left with Cooper. Two to the right. Play action fake. As Flacco drifts right, throws, and he's got Cooper open. He caught it. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
All right. There's a little highlight from yesterday's game. Scott, do we have you back on the line this morning?
Yep.
All right, good. I don't know if you heard any clip. I played the part of Myles Garrett talking about how Joe Flacco doesn't get flustered. Thank you with that, and how he's kind of been through it. He kind of listed all the things that kind of occurred yesterday and how he still had the confidence and able to do something. And I guess we are really seeing that, even over the last couple of games, with this established quarterback.
Yeah, I think yesterday was the perfect example. You know, for most of the game, with the interceptions, and they weren't all his fault. You know, I think Cedric Tillman ran a different route than Flacco was expecting on the first interception. The second interception went off Tillman's hands, but still, you throw three interceptions, and that can really eat away at a guy's confidence, right? And it felt like a game that, hey, okay, this is the kind of bump in the road, and this is back to reality. And then he lights it up in the fourth quarter, and it wasn't easy. The Bears were bringing pressure. The Browns couldn't run the ball. They were down linemen, so the protection wasn't great. I think Flacco was sacked four times, and yet I think he was 11 for 13 for 212 yards in the fourth quarter. So he played the best when he needed to play the best, and I think that just speaks to the experience. It speaks to the resume and all the reasons why the Browns have so much confidence and why Flacco has given them so much hope is because of what he's done in his career and all that experience came to fruition yesterday.
Scott, I know hindsight's 20-20, but given what Joe has done for the Browns, why do you think other teams in the league that needed quarterbacks sooner than later did not pursue him?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's age. You know, you get to 38, and I think people think, oh, you're probably close to being done. I think part of it's money. You know, we see teams in the league, they pay the starting quarterback but tend not to pay the backups, and that could change next year because of all the backup quarterbacks that have been forced to play this year. I think we'll see more backups get paid. But, you know, the Browns went with a rookie, right? A fifth-round rookie is their number two quarterback, and they had P.J. Walker. And Joe was available that whole time. And I just think all of it adds up. It's like, oh, these guys are cheaper, and he's old, and he hasn't played that much. And, you know, I mean, he was 1-8 as a starter the last nine starts over the, I think, 3 years with the Jets. So it's not like he was lighting it up. But I think it's interesting. You talk to Browns players, and they just remember that week two last year when he led the Jets to that crazy comeback and he threw two touchdowns in the last 82 seconds. So there were signs that he still had it. I think if you saw him work out, you would know that he still had it. So I think it's an oversight on a lot of teams. But I think it goes back to like the overall philosophy of younger.
You can't really judge a quarterback who plays for the Jets in much regard. I mean, even Mark Sanchez called the game yesterday. That's where the Jets quarterbacks end up sometimes over time. But let's talk a little bit about really how this team kind of – we mentioned, I guess, even last week you talked about we looked on the schedule to see the Bears. We're thinking, oh, the Bears, where they are. You know, that was a dogfight, as it were. And it seems to be this is how we're going to play most of our games – has been and will continue forward.
There's no doubt. And, I mean, part of that is that that's the nature of the league, right? A lot of games go down to the last couple of minutes. That's just how the NFL is. Part of it's just the season, right? Sometimes you have one of those seasons. But the other part of it right now is the Browns are so beat up that I just have a hard time imagining them blowing out teams. And they're so resilient, I have a hard time picturing them getting blown out. So I think that leads to a lot of games that come down to the wire. And you need the things to bounce your way. You need to keep just hanging around and hanging around. And you need to play well in the big moments. And we've talked about that before. And that's so much of the league. And that's how this team is built right now. I think if not all, you know, pretty much every game is going to be like that. Well, maybe not a Hail Mary at the end, but, you know.
Right. It's hard to catch a ball, by the way, when you're, I guess, falling backwards, not expecting it, and you're – I mean, even there's a shot on the front page of the Chronicle. He looks almost like some sort of, like, doll with his arms up and his legs out, where there's like he has not an understanding of what, how his body works. It's one of those weird things.
It is. I mean, you know, you see the still photography and, you know, the ball's in his chest, and you're like, how does he not catch this, right? And then I hear somebody in the press box after the game was saying, you know, if he makes the catch, he should have. And I'm like, I don't know if he could say should have. He could have, right? The ball hit him in the hands. It was in his stomach for a second. But I think it's probably too much to say it's a catch he should have made, because like, yeah, he's falling down, a bunch of stuff going around him. But the fact is the Browns, you know, got a little lucky there. They avoided disaster because he certainly had the chance with the ball all over his body on that last play.
How confident are you when Dustin Hopkins lines up and has to kick that field goal to go ahead? I mean, is that one of those things where you start thinking, he's been doing it all along, it'll be an easy thing, or you're just thinking, well, who knows what's going to happen?
No, I mean, I count on him making it, you know. I mean, I don't take anything for granted, but I assume he's going to make it, especially when it's inside. I mean, you see, he hasn't missed from over 50, right? He's 8 for 8, so I would say, depending on where he's kicking it, my confidence level goes up. But, yeah, I mean, he's been so automatic. You know, I think he's missed 5 kicks all year. He's been fantastic. So I didn't have a whole lot of doubt that he was going to make the winner with 32 seconds left, and neither did the Browns, because, I mean, they just played for the field goal, right? Stefanski ran it up the middle, and then he had Joe Flacco just dive to the hash. So they weren't worried about getting closer for him, which they're much closer, which, you know, Stefanski's talked the opposite before. And even, you know, they trusted their defense, because they could have tried to get another first down and make sure the Bears didn't get the ball back. But they were got conservative, thinking the Browns, you know, the defense could stop them, and, you know, that almost came back to bite them.
What are we expecting on Christmas Eve against the Texans? What do you want to see that storyline as?
I predict Santa Claus, full stockings. It's going to be a good game. The Texans, you know, they have a question of quarterback. C.J. Stroud, the great rookie out of Ohio State, did not play yesterday because of a concussion suffered the week before. So he's had an outstanding season. So you have to see, right? We've talked before, concussion protocols are so difficult to predict. But they won anyway. They won yesterday. They came back to beat Tennessee with Case Keenum, who's a backup here for a couple of years, with him at quarterback. So, you know, they're in the race to win the AFC South, because Jacksonville's lost. That's 3 in a row that Jacksonville's lost. So they're right in the mix there. It's going to be a huge game for them. So the Browns are going to have to play well. I think the Browns open as 1.5 underdogs, is what I saw last night. Now, Houston's dealing with, I think their best two receivers are hurt, so that's a factor. But it's going to be a good game. You know, the Browns are going to have to go on the road. They haven't played as well on the road, and eventually they're going to have to win a game on the road, whether it's the last couple or in the playoffs. Yeah, I think it's going to be just like everything else we've seen.
Now, that's a 1 o'clock. They're playing in Texas, right? But it's a 1 o'clock game, right? So that's obviously an early start on that out there.
It'll be a noon start in Texas. Yeah.
Joe Bitonio, is he going to be okay? Or is he adding to our list of injured old linemen?
Yeah, obviously something to watch. You know, I just went up to him quick after the game and said, you know, is it spasms? And he said, yeah. That it got me in the pregame, and he tried to fight through it and couldn't. And if you know, I don't know if you guys have ever had back spasms, but they're brutal. And just watching him, like, he was frozen, like, in his stance. It was really difficult to watch. And then he needed help getting to the sideline. So, you know, if it's spasms, you never know. You would think with a week that you could figure out a way to loosen him up and he'd be able to go out there. But again, those are so tough to predict, and they're so, you know, it's just so sensitive, that an area. But if that's all it is, you know, and we don't get MRIs that say it's something more than that, I would think he has a good chance to play. Obviously, we know how tough he is. He hadn't missed, you know, a snap in forever until early in the season when he had knee surgery. So I think it's okay to be optimistic that he'll be able to play.
One comment they made is just Joe Flacco during his press talked about sort of the, I don't know if it's the quality of the people. He, being new there, suddenly sees all these people around him, who gets to step up and whatever. What does that say about what kind of the process of who they sign? And sometimes you maybe have no choice of who you're signing when it gets to the end of the season, but yet all these guys seem to be coming through Is there just the momentum of everybody on the team pulling for each other?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, you know, when you're winning this way, you know, it galvanizes the team. But it goes beyond that. And I think we've talked about when they went to the Greenbrier. You know, I didn't think that was a great idea. I didn't think you needed to go to West Virginia for 9 days. And that brought the team closer together. They made a concerted effort in the offseason because chemistry was not great last year. They made a concerted effort. The guys they brought in would be better team guys. And we saw that with defensive tackles Dalvin Tomlinson and Maurice Hurst II, and defensive end Obo Okoronkwo and safety Juan Thornhill. You go down the list of the guys they brought in, and then it's been a concerted effort by the organization to develop that. And, you know, I've spent so much time focused on the role Kevin Stefanski has had, and I think he's done an unbelievable job. He should be in consideration for Coach of the Year, and I'm not, you know, wavering off that at all. But you do have to give the personnel staff so much credit, because when you're this far into your depth, right, they had their third and fourth safeties playing yesterday, right? They had their whatever. They're missing four starting offensive linemen, right? When you're that far into your depth, you know, and you're still winning games, that's a credit to the guy signing the players. And whether it was drafting them, signing, paying them big money, or getting guys off the street like Jerron Christian, who's played the last six games at left tackle for you, that's certainly a credit to general manager Andrew Berry and his staff.
Well, we look forward to another good game, hopefully, a little bit not as breathtaking as it can be on the Christmas Eve with the Texans, and then, of course, the Jets and the Bengals as well later in the season. Scott, we'll talk again next week. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Scott Patrick joining us, talking Browns football. You can find him at brownzone.com, also at Scott Patrick on X, and read them in the Chronicle-Telegram, of course. It is brought to you on WEOL by Jamelis Wilson Merrill and Fritz Company, attorneys at law, and Royal Business Equipment.